If you would, turn with me to John 8. John 8. You know, you want to, you just got to be instant in season and out of season. But for me, working on computer stuff is a left brain thing. And then doing this is a left, right brain thing. So it's a little bit of a going on right now, just kind of shoving it all together. So, hallelujah. So this, I'm going to just go to verse 12. And therefore Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, this is something that actually I had been for about a couple of weeks now that I just, it caught my attention as I was just reading. Because a lot of times I'm just reading the word, and I read the word, and I might read a verse, or I might read just several chapters or in a row. It doesn't, you know, until something lights, something sparks. And when something sparks, then I camp on that verse. I camp on that verse, and then I read the context before and after it. I get to understand what the verse is being addressed to, what the audience is, what the situation was around it. And as I'm doing that, then it just begins to come alive. But this one caught my attention because there are things in each and every one of our lives that where we need the light of God to shine. We need the light of God to shine mostly, but in us, we need the light of God to shine on us. We need the light of God to shine through us. We need all these things going on because as he is the light, so are we supposed to be the light. But that means that we're not limited to just the things that we know in the natural. We're not limited by this. When we have the light of God being shown and abroad in our heart, now we can begin to see things that we couldn't see. Sometimes there's issues that are going on in our own life. I know that all of y'all are perfect, but and sometimes they're going on in my life. And the light of God, is, the light of God. That's why I keep coming in your direction. So the light of God is shining on those things, and it's letting me see some things. In other words, I understood that there's some things that are going on in me and then around me that I just needed to see from a different perspective. Because after a while, sometimes you get kind of glossed over, hardened over in an area where you just don't see something because you've seen it so many times. It's like, okay, I just don't see it. I'm not responding to it the way Christ would have you to respond. And so I just began to see that. I began to just release that in my life, and I began to pray for that. And it's amazing how many things have begun popping up for me to see. Not just in myself, thank God, but also in the world around me, the things that are going on around me. I'm seeing into them much with a greater clarity, but also just practical ways. Tuesday, I went to take my suit in because we have the wedding coming up, and so I was going to take my suit in, and I got the suit coat, but I couldn't find the suit pants. And then so I came to prayer on Tuesday, and I was like still trying to figure out where the parents were. So I'm up here, I worship you. I worship you. Where's those pants? Where could they possibly be? I looked everywhere. I worship you. I worship you. I know they got to be in that closet. Surely I didn't leave them somewhere. Did I take them to the cleaners already? I worship you. I love you. You know how holy we can be? It's totally disconnected. And then I finally was like, then I remembered this verse and I said, wait a second, I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to walk in the light. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that because I'm with you, Lord, I'm in the light. This like you're in the light. And because I'm in the light, as you're in the light, these pants are already discovered. The light is upon them. And then I went down, and then I could actually worship him like I was supposed to worship him. I could worship him with my whole heart because I just set it aside. Why? Because I already understood from that moment that I was in the light. And the light was going to, that's around me, is going to be shining into that situation. So when I went home and I went and I just looked in the closet and the very first thing as I turned into the closet, I just reached up, put my hands on them and pulled them out. And what had happened is during the freeze, something got knocked off, and knocked down, and it knocked him down on the floor. And I just picked the whole thing up and put it back up there without even looking at what it was. But when I walked in the closet, I didn't even think about it. I just reached for him, and I put my hand there like, that's fabric. Pulled them out. See, so it's practical. It can be very practical. God will shine his light. And one of the things is that LaRue had said a week or so ago was that he will supply the light all the time when we are focused on him. Because the light is coming out of the promised land. So when we're focused on Christ, the light is, and we're already looking. If you're focused on Christ, you're looking towards the promised land. And the promised land itself is shining a light into your situation. It's shining a light into your life. And it's giving you a guidance. It's setting a beacon for you. So let me just give you. So Psalm 119 and 130 says this. The unfolding word gives light. The unfolding word gives light. Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding word. As the word begins to unfold in your heart, there's a new light released. And every time you allow some more word to unfold in your heart, every time you encounter him, there's more word unfolding in your heart. And as you get closer to him, there's more word unfolding in your heart. And as this word is unfolding in your heart, it's releasing a light that is going to guide you to the destiny he's already set for you. It's going to guide you into a realization of truth, and truth will set you free. Sometimes we just need to have a realization of what truth is to set us free. Sometimes we just need a realization of what God has already set in motion. The unfolding of the word, the unfolding of his promise, the unfolding of his inheritance will give you that direction. There's a lot of times when we're spending our time living from our pain rather than living from our victory, because we haven't allowed the unfolding of his word to shed light into it. We need to let his word unfold in our heart so that it begins to shine the light onto it. Because sometimes we can actually even know what the problem is, but because we're not shedding any light, we don't deal with it. It's easier sometimes to allow a situation to continue in our life, even though we know that it's not good, than to shine some light into it. Today, I want you to shine some light into everything that's in your heart, good, bad, or indifferent. Because God already knows it. We're not hiding anything from him. So we might as well just say, okay, God, here it is. Because when we say, okay, God, here it is, we can actually do something about it. So we unfold the light. Remember when and part of that unfolding the light is Matthew 6 and 22, where it says that if our eye be single, then our whole body will be full of light. If our eye is single or clear, then our whole body is full of light. And that is the word alpha pleco, which means Christ woven. Matthew 6:22. But the word clear is alpha pleco. Christ woven. And that means that the more that we're entering into Christ, the more that we're entering in with him, then the more of the light we're shining into our own thoughts, our own patterns, our own habits, our own expectations, everything that we have going on. It's what he wants to do because, see, God wants to have your whole heart. And if we say we make Jesus Lord, we need to make him Lord in every area. The thing that I deal with in Sozo so often is somebody has made Jesus Lord in name only, but they actually haven't made Jesus Lord in action. Or you can make Jesus Lord in this area, but not in that area. When you make Jesus Lord in one area, then that looks good. So I'll show you this area, but you're not ever going to see that area. So if we make Jesus Lord in all the areas, now we can actually become Christ woven. Christ woven. See, that's making our eyes single, because now we're actually having one focus. When our eye becomes with one focus, then that's what causes light to shine. And that's the thing ultimately we all want. Why? Because that's what will rid you of whatever is standing between you and God. Sometimes there's just, you know, there's not all the time, but there are sometimes that there's something that we just haven't seen or weren't willing to deal with. This is what stands between you and the Lord. What stands between you and his perfect will? What stands between you and the destiny he already described to you? What stands between you and that encounter that he wants for you? Some of the wisest words that I've ever had prayed for me were a little girl, a 9-year-old girl, and she said, "Lord, let Pastor Chuck get out of the way." That's all she said. Within 2 weeks, I had a major encounter in God. Because I took it to heart and I said, "Lord, I'm going to humble myself here. I'm going to humble myself here because this little girl done said something that the rest of the adults around here ain't going to say. And I'm going to pay attention." And so I let that become, I say, "Lord, show me how to get out of the way. Show me how to get out of the way." And then, my heart moved and got out of the way, things exploded. So I encourage you, let's let this, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Let your light shine within so that you can get out of the way. Because sometimes we can't get out of the way until we know what it is. Sometimes we don't have to know what it is. We just have to be willing. Sometimes we just simply be willing and that's enough. God will take it the rest of the way. But a lot of times we're so busy in our defensiveness, we're living out of our pain rather than out of our victory. And so we're standing in our place of defensiveness rather than openness. We have a new puppy, and part of the deal is I'm trying to get this one socialized. The last one was so obnoxious that he couldn't be socialized because he would just bark at every dog incessantly. And so, you know, he was Mr. Alpha Aggressive. He was great with people, but he was not so good with dogs. So this one I'm trying to take to the dog park. And I found out that there's a whole culture of people at the dog park I never, ever knew existed. I had no idea. That's a whole different culture out there. It's a whole different world. It's like you stepped off of Earth and into a different planet. Dogs rule the planet. But there was this one gentleman over there, and he was talking about this lady who had come up to me or up to him and said, "Why is your dog so fat?" Which was a pretty rude thing to say. But instead of dealing with it as an adult, his response was, "Why are you so ugly? I can put my dog on a diet, but a diet ain't gonna fix that face." See, he's living out of his pain and his defensiveness rather than dealing with a situation as an adult. We've got to learn this, like, okay, Lord, when I see things going on in my life that shouldn't be there, that don't fit, there's a reason. Get out of the way. Thank you, George. Get out of the way. Because ultimately, this guy's an adult, okay? He's older than I am, so he should be an adult by now. But he's looking, still looking, allowing his triggers to define his journey. What triggers do you have? I would tell you what triggers I have, but I don't, yeah. We don't have that enough time. We don't have enough time. You can talk to Doug. I'm sure he can tell you a lot of those triggers. So, one of the things is the light has begun to shine, to come to various areas. I've begun to see, sometimes we're busy responding to the symptom rather than having having an intention towards the root. In other words, we're busy responding to the insult. We're busy responding to the thing that offended me. We're busy responding to the thing that made me mad. We're busy responding to the provocation, whatever that was, instead of actually looking for the solution to the problem. Because you're never going to fix it by working at it up here. You have to go and cut out the root. And sometimes we see our root, I remember Mike told me this story, as a little bitty nub barely sticking out of the ground. But when the Lord gets a hold of that root, he starts pulling, he pulls the whole tree out. A whole tree. I'm assuming you don't mind me sharing that. It's a little late now. I'll put your name to it. Yes. Well, that's the response I was looking for. At least it's a healthy response. But see, when we begin to understand the root, when we begin to understand and be honest with ourselves, it allows God to be now able to bring his healing, his deliverance, his freedom. I have one guy that he became kind of a project. We had a lot of common history in the electronics world and computers and stuff. And so I was seeing him for Sozo. And so I visited him a bunch of times for Sozo. But we never could. We got a lot of things off early, but there was a coke addiction that just stayed. And I was like, okay, this is not good. And he just kept doing it. But what it actually turned out to, he had one part of his life he wasn't willing to share with me about. When he uncovered that thing in his life, instantly the addiction was also broken, even though the addiction didn't appear to have anything to do with this thing that he was uncovered. But once he uncovered it, now God can actually get in and get involved with it. And when that happened, deliverance happened across, and he's not gone back to it since. His whole life has changed. His whole order of things has changed. He, as a person, changed simply because he finally was able to deal with the truth. And because he was able to deal with the truth, he could actually receive the truth. And we know that when he received the truth, he received healing. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. God is looking to bring you to the completion of his word. He's looking to bring you to the completion of his inheritance. He's looking to bring you to the completion of his promise. It's up to us to allow that to happen. Not that we have to earn it, but just simply be open for it. He's quite willing to fix us. He's quite anxious, probably, to fix us. But we have to open up for it. He wants to fix us. You know, sometimes we respond out of fear, and And once we respond out of fear, then we stay in that pattern. I've met a number of people in my life who can't swim. And, okay, now I've met some more. But the deal is what usually happens is some incident in your life brings you into a place of fear initially. But then you never conquer that fear. You never come back to it. And never come overcome it. But I've met one person who at the age of 45 plus actually began to work on it. And even though she couldn't swim before, she can swim now. And simply because she decided that she wasn't going to let fear push her around. She was going to take this thing and she wasn't going to stop until, in other words, and did she like doing it at first? Absolutely not. But she wouldn't let it shut her down. And she responded, she kept responding to it out of this is what I want to do. I'm not going to be what I was. I'm going to be what I want over here. And that's the reality, as simple as that example is, the reality is most of the things that we deal with, we're responding out of something that's a negative rather than looking for the positive that God has already assigned to it. I don't know that she's going to be swimming the English Channel anytime soon, but she definitely conquered the fear. Okay. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. When you turn with me to, I want to start in my wrapping up. We obviously had a little less time today because of the whole live stream thing, but go with me to Isaiah 10. You giggling over there? Yeah, Isaiah 10. Thank you, Jesus. The word in thy light, we shall see light. That's not Isaiah 10, that's Psalms 36. I just thought I would throw it out there. While you guys were finding Isaiah 10, I would just give you some more information. She's looking at it like, I don't see it in Isaiah 10. Isaiah 10, verse 17. And the light of Israel will become a fire, and his Holy One a flame. And it will burn and devour his thorns and his briars on a single day. This thorn, it will burn and devour. It's talking about the one who's the enemy of the people of Israel. So right there he's saying that I'm going to become a lamp and a light and a fire and a flame. And I'm going to devour the enemy who has been oppressing. See, this guy, the king of Assyria was coming against Hezekiah. Hezekiah, when you look in Second Kings, then your Hezekiah was being assaulted by the king of Assyria. And if you'll hold your place in Isaiah, let me just go over to Second Kings real quick. And so, Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18, verse 13, basically is being assaulted by Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, who came up against the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. And Hezekiah winds up giving them, saying, okay, we'll back off. We sinned against you. We'll pay you. So he pays him. Guess what? When you pay off someone who's corrupt, all that does is encourage them to come back. And they came back. This time they come against Jerusalem and they surrounded Jerusalem. And so when he surrounds Jerusalem, he begins to insult not only Hezekiah, but he begins to insult the God that Hezekiah serves. And you see it in verse 32. He says, but do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you, saying the Lord will deliver us. And so Hezekiah recognizes that this thing is being said, and he recognizes that this guy is actually trying to despise the Lord he serves. And he actually comes back, and not only does he say this, but he actually says, all the other gods that I've come up against and their people, I've wiped all them out, and I'll wipe you out. He said, didn't Hezekiah take down all your high places and left you to worship only one God? Surely that's not going to be enough. And Hezekiah went to Isaiah, and they began to pray. And it was interesting to see that in this situation, they were surrounded by hundreds of thousands. There was no hope or help from anywhere but God. And therefore, verse 32 of chapter 19, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come to this city or shoot an arrow there. Neither shall he come before it with a shield, nor throw up a mound against it. By the way that he came, the same way he shall return, and he shall not come to this city. For I will defend the city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 of the camp of the Assyrians. And behold, when the old wren rose up early in the morning, all of them were dead. In one night, the angel of the Lord goes out on Hezekiah's behalf because Hezekiah said, there's only one God and I'm going to stand with that God. And the Lord wiped out 185,000. Angel of the Lord wiped out 185,000, sent the enemy packing back to Assyria, back to Nineveh maybe. Yeah, he'd lived, returned home and lived in Nineveh. And then he got stabbed. The end. So it didn't end well for him to insult the living God. It didn't end well for him to insult. But the thing for us to learn out of this is that Hezekiah said there's only one God, and I'm going to believe in the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to believe in the Lord God that I know, and we're going to eliminate all these other gods. And we're going to stay with the one that we know, and we're going to stay there, and we're going to count on him. Now, in his situation, he really had no other alternative. But the deal was, his heart was true. The thing for us to recognize is that if we'll stick with the God, the Lord that we know, and quit looking for everything else to deliver us. Facebook is not going to deliver you. Facebook will corrupt you, but it won't deliver you. Okay? Your girlfriend over there whispering stuff isn't going to deliver you. Whatever your situations are, if it's not God, it's not the answer. When we place ourselves in, when we're looking for every answer but God, then we're in the wrong camp. We have to set ourselves looking to him. But when we do, miraculous things can happen because he wants to be there for you. Remember I said to hold your place in Isaiah 10? Okay, so let's flip back to Isaiah 10. That's Proverbs. It's good, but it's not what I'm looking for. Verse 20, still talking about the light of Israel, becomes a fire and the Holy One a flame. See, he'll become a fire and a flame to your enemy. He'll become a fire and a flame and consume the one who tries to come to consume you. He will come and consume whatever needs to be consumed. And verse 20 says, now it will come about in that day that the remnant of Israel and the house of Jacob who have escaped will never rely on the one who struck them, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 27. So it will be on that day that this burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be broken because of fatness or because of the anointing. The yoke is broken because of the anointing. How many of us learned that scripture? The yoke will be broken because of the anointing. In other words, that thing that held you to something else that was not God will be broken off because of the anointing. It's the yoke that if it kept you in bondage. That thing gets broken because of the anointing on your life, simply because you choose to engage God. And when we engage him and we make ourselves open and available to him, it gives him the opportunity to come in. Whatever the issue might be, he will deal with it. He'll consume whatever was attacking. He'll consume whatever was distracting. It's up to us to simply choose to allow that to happen. The yoke is broken by the anointing. The anointed one and his anointing. Sometimes when we're Christians for a while, it's real easy to get more concerned about how something looks than getting rid of it. It's a whole lot better just to get rid of it, not be concerned about how it looks. There's no scripture for that. Yeah. We sometimes in life, we're more concerned about somebody else finding out about our issue than actually dealing with the issue. It's a whole lot easier just to keep the issue covered up and no one's going to know, except everybody else already knows. You're the only one who's not acknowledging that everybody already knows. And if they wanted to know, all they have to do is ask your spouse. Then they'll find out, right, Carla? Right. Just ask John. But see, we would rather cover it up because that way we can pretend. I could be naughty with that, but I won't. We got to live life in such a way that we're willing to bring it to the Lord. And if that means that we get humble, you already heard from Sharon earlier that humility is one of the most sought out things. And actually, once you get humble in an area, it's actually kind of nice. Because why? Because now I don't have to support this on my own. If I'm supporting, in other words, if I'm hiding something, I'm always having to hide it. I'm always having to work at that. But when I'm just being humble enough to let it go, I no longer have to shove all that energy into that project. So I know this is a little bit more sobering, but at the same time, I want it to be something that sets you free. Because see, I can give you a nice little sermon, but if I give you a nice little sermon, it don't set you free. So let's get set free. Let's get set free. Let's learn how to leave it. What was the other thing we were saying earlier? Let it go. Yeah, let it go. You know, when I'm working with this puppy, I'm still training him to how to let it go. Drop it. Drop it. So God is looking to work with you. He's looking to bring you into the place of being free in him. But this means that sometimes we just have to let it go. Let him be Lord. Sounds simple. It actually is simple. Most of us know when we start being aggravated and frustrated with somebody that we shouldn't. But we do it anyway. Let it go. Whatever stands between you, whatever it is that you, if you can recall a time in your life where you were more on fire than you are right now, what happened? Where's your focus? Where's your heart? Where's your allegiance? Because see, ultimately something got in the way of the focus. And when your focus again got off on, I don't want to deal with that person. Do you know what they did to me? You know what she did? And then you have a whole thing that you've rehearsed about what she did. Rehearsing it does not help it. It does not cure it. It will not fix it. Let it go. Let it go. Like the Lord told Moses, let my people go. Let it go. Drop it. But that's good. That's good. So, one of the ways to figure out what it is that we're talking about is what triggers you. Whatever triggers you, ask the Lord to show you the truth, His truth behind that. Because whatever's triggering you is based in some kind of a lie. Because it didn't come from the Word. It didn't come from Jesus saying it to you. So whatever that trigger is, let it go. Receive truth. Let the truth set you free.